Certainly it is good to see all who have come back this evening. And we pray that once we have completed our service to our God, that everything that we have done this day will be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. I want to just share with us tonight a few things that I have entitled A Great Way to Enter the New Year. I want to share some points from the book of Deuteronomy. The chapter is 8, and several verses in that chapter we want to share tonight, and be God's will, perhaps next week we will share a few more thoughts from this particular chapter. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Israel was about to enter into a new land that they had never been before. This land had been promised to them by God Almighty. If you would recall back in Genesis chapter 13, when the struggle or the confrontation, if we term it like that, arose between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. Abraham said, "Let there be no confusion, let there be no division, let there be no strife between us because we're brethren." He said, in essence, "You take what you want, and I'll take what's left." Right after that, round about verse number 14 in chapter 13, God said to Abraham, "Look to the south, look to the north, look to the east, look to the west. All this land that you see, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed." Israel was the seed that would possess this land that Abraham saw. And so now they have been led through the wilderness, and they are on the brink of entering this land. And God, through Moses, gave them some instructions, some information, and some advice that would help them to enjoy the blessings that he had in store for them. Likewise, this evening, we are about to enter into, or have entered, I should say, into a new year, a year that we've never seen before. But because of God's mercy and his grace, he has allowed us to see it. And he has some blessings in store for us. And he wants to shower us with those blessings. But I believe that some of the same things that he said to these people as they were entering into this new land can be applicable to us this evening as we continue to live our lives in this year for as long even as God would allow us to live. I believe that there are some things that we need to remember, as he would say to these people, that they needed to remember some things as they were entering this land. If we don't remember God's instructions and God's advice and God's information that he has left for us in his word, if we don't remember it, of course, if we don't remember it, we won't do it. And if that is the case, then nothing else will matter. We'll have to stand before him in the judgment and be judged by a just God. And if you're like me tonight, I want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." in order for him, as I say so many times, to say that, we've got to do well. Amen. Doing well, I'm equating that with doing God's will. And this is what God wanted his people to do back in Israel's day. Let's look at a few passages in tonight. And let's see these things that we need to remember as we enter into this new year. In verse number 1, he says this, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." We need to remember God's commandments. Remember the word of our Lord. The Israelites were to keep all God's commandments. Notice the word "all." That suggests to us tonight that God's commandments are not optional. They were to remember, they were to keep all the commandments. Not some, not most, but they were to keep all of God's commandments. These commandments, they were the right things for these people to do because they came from God. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 172, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." So all of God's commandments that he gave to the Israelites, they were righteousness. They were things that were the right thing to do. And God always wants us to do the right thing. But you know what? We can't think of what is right. We can't dream of what is right. God has to tell us what is right. And so we need to be a people, as God wanted his people of old, to keep his commandments. We need to be a people that will do the right thing according to the will of God. So the Israelites, number one, they were to keep all of God's commandments. We are to keep all of God's commandments. Now, do we make mistakes? Yes. Thank God for grace. Thank God for repentance. But not only were they to keep all of God's commandments, but notice that verse always also points out that his commandments were for their benefit. They weren't for God's benefit. They were for the people's benefit. Look at the verse again. The verse says, after he says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do," he says, "that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." God's commandments were for the people's benefit. As I said this morning, God wants the best for us. And God will only bless, as Brother Vincent Maynard used to always say, God can only bless us if we yield ourselves to his will. So he wants the best for us. He wanted the best for his people then. But the best would only come to them when they kept God's commandments. As a result of keeping my commandments, God is saying that you'll be able to live, you'll be able to multiply, and you'll be able to possess this land that you're going into. We're blessed today, brothers and sisters, when we obey the Lord's will. In the book of James, James chapter 1 and verse number 22, James says it like this by inspiration. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." He goes on and he says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his face in a glass. And straightway," he says, "he beholds himself and goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was." We can understand that. Because if my tie is crooked, or if my hair is not combed, I guess today it probably wouldn't matter because they don't comb their hair now anyway. But if something is out of place, if I don't attend to that, or if you don't attend to something that's out of place, when you walk out of that room, it won't be long that you forget that that thing is out of place. And so you'll be walking, I'll be walking around all day out of place. That's the same thing it is about the Word of God. When we look in God's mirror, which is His Word, and if we see that we are out of step with the Word, if we don't do anything to correct ourselves, we're going to be walking around all day, all our lives, out of step with God. And that will be a bad thing. So James says, if we don't correct ourselves when we look into that mirror, straightway we'll go our way and forget what manner of man we are. But then he goes on and says this, and here's the benefit that comes in by obeying the will of God. He goes on and said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deeds. That's the benefit. God wants to bless us. But again, God cannot and will not bless us the way he wants to bless us unless we are obedient to his will. So again, Moses said to these people, by the inspiration of God's Spirit, all the commandments, he says, shall you observe to do, that you may do what? Live, multiply, and possess the land whither you go. God wants to benefit us, but the benefits only come through obedience to his word. And you know what? Reading and studying God's word equips us with the knowledge that's needed to obey his will. John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, he was inspired to write this when he wrote in Revelation chapter 1 in verse number 3. He said, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. You notice all those conjunctions in there? Conjunction, join things together of equal value, if you will. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. If one just attempt to please God by reading, he's in trouble. If one just attempt to please God by listening, if you will, to what God says in his word, he's in trouble. The only way one can please God, again, is to read or to study and to listen to what God has to say and do what God says. That's where the benefits, that's where the spiritual benefits comes. When one reads, when one hears, and when one keeps or one does or obey the things which God has written. So Israel was to remember God's commandments, all of them, as they entered into this land. I'm encouraging us tonight, let's remember the word of God. And again, we won't remember it unless we read it, unless we study it, unless we listen to it. We won't be able to do it. So let's strive to remember God's commandments. Secondly, as the scripture goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 8, in verse number 2, he says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. These people, they were to remember how God brought them through everything in coming through this wilderness. He sustained them for 40 years. He tested them. He humbled them. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. And God says he did all of that they may learn that they did not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We tonight need to think of how God has blessed us in the previous days of our lives. And God didn't bless us in the previous days of our lives because of our being so good, but because he is a good God. And he did all of this that toward us, that is blessing us, again, that we might put our trust and our confidence in his word and know again that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of his mouth. That's why it's so important for one to remember the word of God. And he is leading us, even tonight, to do great things in the days to come, as he wanted his people to do great things in that land in which they were about to enter. But they needed to depend upon him to know that he would help them. Are we depending upon God as we continue to go through our lives? Are we depending on ourselves? We need to depend upon God. So remember God's leadership and how he leads us, and he's going before us. And let me say this. In order for him to lead us, we got to follow him. Amen. So let's follow God. Let's go in the direction in which he wants us to go. He's leading us. He wants us to follow him. Thirdly tonight, in verse 5, he says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. In the same manner, he says, as a man chastens his own son, God chastens us. And he doesn't do that to destroy us. A man doesn't chasten his own son to destroy him, but he does that to help him to grow and to mature, that he might be the child, the son, or the daughter that they ought to be. And that's why God chases us, not to destroy us, but to help us to be a better people. Therefore, we should not despise the chastening of the Lord. The Hebrew Christians were exhorted in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 5, he says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure. But he for our what? Profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. We must be, if we want to see his face in peace, we must be a partaker of his holiness. Because the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 8 tells us that we are to be holy people, and said, without such no man shall see the Lord. We've got to be partakers of his holiness. Thank God for his chastening us. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God loves us. That's why he chastens us. That's why he corrects us. That's why sometimes even he punishes us, hoping to get us back on the right track. It may be, not saying that it always is, but it may be the reason why sometimes we have hard times in our lives is that God is trying to get our attention to get us back on the right track. That's part of the chastening of the Lord. So he says to these Israelites, he says, I want you to consider in your heart that just like a man chastens his own son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth you. We ought to be thankful tonight that God chastens us. Just like when our earthly parents were chastening or chastising us, as it says, right then it didn't seem pleasant to us. But after we understood why they did what they did. Because if they hadn't done what they did, look where we may have been today. Thank God for them chastening us. Thank God for his chastening us. So as we go throughout this year and throughout the rest of our days, let's welcome God's tough love toward us. That's what chastening is, God's tough love. We'll surely appreciate it when we get to heaven. And then fourthly tonight and lastly, in verses 6 through 10, he says this, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. He wanted them to remember his blessings. We need to remember God's blessings. Because of his blessings, they were to fear him and walk in his ways. Again, verse number 6. They were blessed with everything that they needed. Verses 7 through 9. And if we go back to chapter 6, we'll find out that all of these things they were blessed with, they had nothing to do with their being blessed of them themselves. They were all provided without them doing one thing as far as providing them for themselves. Look at what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says this, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee unto the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou did what? Buildest not. You didn't have anything to do with the cities. You didn't build them. You didn't lay not one stone. You didn't draw not one blueprint. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. You didn't go to the store and buy not one thing and fill up the cupboards in those houses. And wells dug which thou diggest not. You didn't hire not one contractor to go out and dig a well. And vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. No farmer went out and planted anything for you. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, he says, beware, the next verse, lest thou forget God. In other words, the point that I'm making is that these people didn't have not one thing to do with the things they were blessed with. God provided that for them. I want to say to us tonight, when we look at it from that perspective of how God loved them and how he loves us, it ought to just cause us to appreciate the blessings that God blesses us with. And so he says to these people again, in verse number 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. The word bless there carries with it the idea of praise and thank the Lord for what he's done for you. So I'm saying to us tonight, as we enter into this new year, remember all of God's commandments. Remember God's leadership. Remember God's chastening. And remember God's blessings. May these things then help us tonight to be what God would have for us to be. And we can say then, like the psalmist said, in Psalms 103, verses 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. God is a good God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. And he wants the best for us. But again, as Vincent Maynard would always say, as I've already said, God wants the best for us, but he can only give us his best when we yield our will to his will by obeying his will. Let's remember what God is doing for us. Let that again cause us to bless and praise his holy name and be thankful that he's brought us this far. And by his grace, he'll lead us on. If you're here then tonight, subject to God's invitation, we want to encourage you to come and obey the Lord. If you haven't obeyed him in baptism, would you come and be baptized for the remission of your sins?